whether with us here this morning in person, whether downstairs in the lower lobby, whether you're joining us online, we just want to thank you for taking the time to worship with us here at Northeast, to be with us as we continue to explore this whole idea of coming out of exile. Now, I understand that you cannot really, in every way, obviously in a lot of ways, you can't compare the Babylonian captivity of tens of thousands of the people of Judah who were transported 500 miles from their home by way of crow flies, or 900 miles by foot. You can't compare that in every way to a worldwide pandemic. But certainly you can make applications. And the prophet Jeremiah was one who wanted to convey a message to his people in that situation. God called him as a prophet in very difficult circumstances. Jeremiah, we know him as the weeping prophet. And the reason he's called that, if you read the book of Jeremiah, read the book of Lamentations, you see he is one who is very much emotionally connected to his message and what he's speaking, because he is a Jew. He's an Israelite. He's someone who lives in Judah, and he is someone who saw what happened to tens of thousands of people who were deported to another land because God allowed another nation to overtake it. And so Jeremiah prophesied and preached before, during, and after this time period. And so once tens of thousands of the Jews are transported to Babylonia, in Jeremiah 29, there is a letter that he writes to them. And he writes to them about the past, he writes to them about the present, and he writes to them about the future. And in that sense, obviously where we are right now in coming out of a kind of exile with COVID-19, while you can't compare everything in the same way, we can say this: everybody has been affected. The people who stayed in Judah were affected. The people who went to Babylon, they were affected. And I venture to say that there is probably, I think of events in history, and in a lot of ways, this one is totally unique in that not only just a worldwide pandemic and everything associated with that, but with the communication that we have now, everybody was living that and experiencing that in profound ways that affected us deeply, deeply. Now, there are some things that are going to change you or have changed, and it may not bother you that much. I think of what's going to happen to buffets. And I was reading an article a couple of weeks ago about what is happening to buffets in nations as they kind of come out of this concern about the coronavirus. And they're going to have to find a new way to do it, or they're going to go by the way of the past. Now, I don't know if that upsets you. Some of you are probably very happy about that. But that's one consequence that is felt. It's a tiny one, but then how about this one? How many of you who are working or employed, how many of you shifted from in office to working at home? Raise your hand. All right. That's quite a number of you in here, and I know those of you viewing online, you could say the same thing as well. So how many of you are going to continue to do that as well? Okay, I see a few hands. So there have been some changes that have occurred that are permanent. Some of them are temporary, but some of them are very intense. I think of what has transpired over the last 15 months, and we're not just talking about a virus. We're talking about a context, a historical and a cultural context that led many people at the end of this time period to feel discouraged, for people to feel disconnected, for people to feel divided. And certainly that was one of the results that we see not only in the pandemic, but in just a whole lot of different ways in society. I was reading an article, and in this opinion piece, it says that it's talking about polarization. It says it's weakening our political and social bonds, separating our economic fortunes, and driving to bitter cultural divides. A fixation on our differences is fracturing us into warring tribes, threatening to turn our country into little more than a collection of grievance groups who believe that folks on the other side of the divide are really the ones tearing our nation apart. And the only reason I share that quote with you, I'm not telling you anything that you haven't already seen, experienced in the news, in world events, in national events over the last 15 months. And it's something that is obviously brought about by a number of cultural situations that have people more divided today, statistically, culturally, politically, everything politicized. And we know how that went with mass, certainly, as well. And some people are saying, boy, I want things to be different. I really want things to be different. What about just the truth? One of the things that came out of this pandemic and all the news that was associated with that was this idea of what is fact and what is fiction. We surveyed several of you in the congregation. In fact, we threw it out to the entire congregation, and a very representative sample of you responded to this, probably a third to a fourth of our adult members. And we asked them the question, what was the most difficult thing for you about the experience you've had the last 15 months? And a couple of people said this, trying to separate fact from fiction. So much of what we've been told and related to the virus, staying safe was probably false. I never knew what to believe because things were changing so rapidly. And now this is one person's opinion, but somebody else is trying to figure out what's fact, what's true, what's not true. Without knowing the truth, how can you make good decisions? Truth matters, right? It mattered to the people during Jeremiah's day as he writes a letter to these exiles. He says to them, among other things, he's speaking about the false prophets, and he said, they're prophesying lies to you in my name. Don't listen to them. I haven't sent them. And so you have people on this side, and you have people on this side, and you have people concerned about cancel culture, and you have people concerned about other political issues, and then you have people wondering whether this is true or this is true, and it's all kind of confusing. But it matters. It matters. Truth matters. At times, there might be some things that are more important in terms of truth than other things, but it matters about fact from fiction. We asked people in the survey, what is the most important thing that you have learned? How have you grown? What's the most important thing you've learned, and how have you grown in your faith? And there are some responses, I think, that are great responses. I think we have a couple right here. This is the one that came out more than anything else. This is number one in terms of how you responded to how you've grown and what you've experienced going forward. God is in control. God is always there. God doesn't change, even though our circumstances do. God is supreme. God is in charge. If there's one thing that a majority of you said going forward with this thing, you said, listen, whatever has happened, however things are now, I believe that God is in control. For whatever the circumstances that may have led to the virus, I know, I understand, I believe that God allowed it to happen. And I believe that God had a purpose in allowing that to happen. Many of you say, I still believe that God's in control. And I think about what somebody else said in the survey. I'll get to that in just a second. But I want to get to a passage first in terms of God reminding us that He is in control. He says to these people who are in exile, he says, for I know the plans I have for you. I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And then you will call upon me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. God is in control. God is in control. And Jeremiah is saying to these people, in a very, very difficult circumstance, God is saying to them, I want you to know, I want you to understand that I have this. He is in control, but he doesn't just have control, and not only is he sovereign, God says, I have a plan for you. I have a plan for this nation. I have a plan for you when you come back to Judah. I have a plan that I'm going to bring about because of who you are and what I can do through you. I believe God has a plan. And I want to encourage you to personalize it. Personalize it in a way that as you read these words, it's not just the prophet or God speaking through the prophet to people thousands of years ago. God is saying, I have a plan for you. And God is wanting to work out his plans in you. I know sometimes we struggle with that. And you may be struggling with that right now. Maybe you don't see how things could be a part of God's plan in your life. And sometimes, obviously, that doesn't mean that everything that happens to us is good any more than it was for them. But God is working out his purposes. God has a plan. And God says to them, you have a hope and you have a future. I have a plan for you, and I have plans to give you hope, and I have plans to give you a future. That's where things were so tough at so frequently during the last 15 months for us. Not that we didn't think we had a future, but in terms of timing on things and when is it going to happen and you know why are things this way? It was a struggle. I went back a couple of months ago and I looked at some of those initial lessons that I did on video speaking to you and people who viewed us online, and I can't tell you how many times I said something like, hey, we're all going to be back together in 2 weeks. Hey, let's keep the faith. Here we go. You know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, we're going to flatten the curve. We're all going to be back. See you in a couple of weeks. And I tell you, after about a month or two or three, I tell you, quite frankly, I thought, ugh. I want to apologize to you right now. I was misleading you during that time, but I certainly wasn't doing it purposely. You have a future. You have a future. And when we think about past difficulties and we think about what God is calling to us in the future, when I asked the question to you all, I said, what's the most difficult thing that you faced in the last 15 months? And once again, by far, the majority of folks, I think the number one answer, not obviously, I don't know exactly, I didn't count them up, but it was isolation. Number one. What was the hardest thing that you personally dealt with over the last 15 months? And number one, it was isolation. Here's two people embracing. I don't know if you're a hugger or not. There are probably some of you that, when we started social distancing, you thought, yes, you know, because, yeah, you like your space, you don't like the hug, you don't even like the handshake, whatever, you know, fist bump, maybe I'll do that. But, okay, maybe that did not bother some of you very much, but if you're a hugger, certainly you feel differently. But I think even if you're the biggest introvert that ever walked the face of the earth, that you can't say that you weren't affected in some way by this whole idea of isolation and a loss of community. I look at once again some of the quotes that you said, and when I said, you know, what's What's the most difficult thing? Spending so much time alone, not having physical closeness with others, connecting with people personally and making sure my kids felt connected to others too. Loss of loved ones and unable to be present with them before and after their death. That's a big one. They're all big, but that's a big one. And so some of you face these things and you miss the community, not only with family, but with your church family as we were moving through this thing. Even one person said this, adjusting to so much isolation as well as the general hostility in our society. Early on, it was the toilet paper shortage. But I worked through that. I'd love to know who sent that to me. It's like 10 months into it, we were thinking, please bring me back to the toilet paper shortage days. But this all goes to this whole idea of attitude, and it goes back to how we will respond in terms of what we're facing as God is calling us. And so I think it's very clear that God wants us moving forward, as he says in Jeremiah 29, okay, what do we do from this point forward? From this point forward, I'm committed to being a builder. I'm committed to being a builder. Whatever circumstances you face, God says to you, if you're in exile, if you're coming out of exile, whatever the case, whatever the situation, I want you to commit to being a builder in your family, in your community of faith. And he said to them, those who were in exile, he says, increase in number, don't decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you will prosper too. Be a builder. Be an agent of change. Be a positive influence wherever you are. Don't allow yourself, let's not allow ourselves as we move forward to be captivated or prisoners by our circumstances to the point that it causes us to want to withdraw or not get engaged or not get involved. And I tell you, I love this comment made by somebody, and I don't know who it is. I think I may have an idea, but when I ask, what did you learn? What did you learn over the past 15 months? And this person said to find joy in each day and to find a way to serve others each day. I've learned that I'm solely in charge of my attitude. And then they said this, and I have a chance to be a difference maker. Folks, that's not just post-pandemic. It was true for the Jews living in these circumstances, so far away from home. God says to them, in that circumstance, I want you to be a builder. Don't you think they long for things to change or be different or to go back home? They long for the familiar. I don't have a doubt about that for one minute. And yet God says to them right now, in this circumstance, you can do this. And to me, this comment made by one of our members, buddy, that would make a 4-point sermon right there. Maybe I should have just taken that and preached that this week. Each day, find joy in it. Learn that you're in charge of your attitude, and I want to be a difference maker. And that's exactly what God is saying to his prophet as he gives that message to his people. God is calling you right now to be a difference maker. He is calling you right now to take the initiative in people's lives and do it in a way that it not only affects your family, it affects others around you, and it affects the community. Think about it. God says to them in exile, God says to them, I want you to build, I want you to grow. And he's not just talking about homes and houses. We'll talk about the family next week. But he's saying, what is good for you is good for this city. What's good for the city is good for you. You can be a difference maker right now, right where you are. And that's the point that's been made in a couple of sermons recently related to Daniel. Here's Daniel. He's in this context. He makes a huge difference. He maintains his integrity, but he makes a huge difference in the culture while he is in exile. But that attitude is an attitude we want to take with us as we leave exile as well. So what can we do? What can we do? Number one, we need to do this. We need to recommit. We need to take steps to reconnect if we're not doing that already. If you still have health concerns related to COVID, and you may be in a situation where there may still be some concerns with your health. When we encourage people to come back and be with us in person, obviously you're going to have to look at that one yourself. And we don't want anybody to do anything that would risk their unique situation health-wise. But if you don't fit in that category, I just want to ask you the question, what's holding you back? What's holding you back? And this isn't just about church attendance. It's not that. It's about each of us making the decision as we move forward that this is important to me. And it should not only be important to me, and it's not just about me, it's also about others. That, listen, this is an opportunity. It's a new season. Many of us have an opportunity right now, and Rob, you preached a little of this when you did the greeting this morning. We are going to have some great opportunities as we continue to move forward to be builders of community. And it's about relationships, and it's about growing, and it's about going deeper into Jesus and deeper in our relationships with others. So whether it's the food and fellowship groups, or whether it's life groups in the fall, or whether it's a serving together and reaching out, it's remembering that I'm not just going to wait on somebody else to do something. I want to be a catalyst. I want to be an agent in this life that doesn't just respond to what's around me, but take steps to make a difference, not only in my life, but in the lives of others. Lots of things we can do in terms of that. And secondly, we can do this as we move forward. We want to keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing the main thing. So what is our church a slogan, or what is our church mission? Can anybody tell me what that is? Love God, grow deeper, share Jesus. Love God, grow deeper, share Jesus. Folks, that's not just a slogan. It is meant to be a way of life. Because number one, for Christians, that is biblical. That's what God is calling us to be. And I think of all the conflict, all the tension. I think of the divisions that exist in society, and the anger in a lot of ways that is there. And I think of the frustration. I know I talked to somebody the other day, and they said, we need to learn how to. We need to learn how to talk with people instead of at people. But there are a lot of people today, they don't even want to talk at all. They don't want to talk with you. They don't want to talk at you. They just don't want to have anything to do with you, because if we're disagreeing, hey, be gone with you. Share Jesus. Share Jesus. Keep the main thing the main thing. In a world divided, and a nation divided, and I will say this right now within this body, whether you're listening on, watching online, or whether you're in this auditorium today, do you think we agree on everything? Do you think we all belong to the same political party if we belong to a political party at all? Do we all have different backgrounds, different interests? We have different viewpoints on a number of things. And that's why it's so important to keep the focus where it belongs. Because if we don't keep the focus where it belongs, it is Jesus and our commitment to Him and His life and His purpose that brings us together, that makes us one. And in a world that often wants to blame first, divide, find fault, we need to point people to Jesus, His Word, His teachings, His life, because Jesus will bring people together. Number three, accept that things will never be the same. As we rebuild community, accept the fact, and I didn't have to tell you this, whether you accept it or not, things change. And a lot of times we resist things being different. We had to do so many different things during this pandemic. And it was sometimes hard and challenging, but I'll tell you quite frankly, I am thankful that we were forced to do some things during the pandemic that we had thought about, we knew we needed to do, but it was the pandemic that brought us to a point that forced us, so to speak, to do some things, to stay connected, to do whatever it was online, the website. Folks, while we were not even meeting here, there were people committed to being here and doing some of the things you've seen in the building in preparation for people to return. So there's building during exile and there's continued building after exile. And I'll just be honest with you, I don't know exactly what this looks like moving forward in terms of, you know, what we continue to do, what we do that we've done in the past that we're not doing now. I don't know exactly what that looks like. But to me, once again, if we believe God is in control and we're focusing on the things that are the main thing, and we focus on whatever we do it with excellence and we do it with a purpose, that's fine. Let's be flexible enough as we move forward as a body here at Northeast that we can join together and say, you know, my opinion may be different on this or that, or I may not see things exactly the way you do on some peripheral issue, but folks, we're on the same team. I know you have felt differently about a lot of things. I had conversations with you. But let's keep the main thing, and let's understand that not all of us are always going to get our way on everything when it comes to the way things are done at church. If that was the case, we could just put one person in charge of everything, making decisions for everyone, and that would be it. I am grateful that we have an opportunity to move on. Amen. Are you ready to be a builder? Yep. I love the statement that was made by one of our members in the survey. And they said this: there's going to be a time in your life where you have to make a decision to trust God, even if you feel like you're barely hanging on. When you've made that decision, start looking for God and all the things around you, and you're going to see that the big answer that you're looking for is there. So, what's the big answer? The big answer is Jesus. And you may not right now be at a place in your life where you're ready wholeheartedly, 100%, to give your life completely to Jesus as He calls you. But we ask you to give Jesus a chance. There may be some of you out there in this assembly, maybe who are viewing online, and you're ready to make a commitment and you're ready to be baptized. We want to let you know you can contact us anytime. We can talk with you after service, and we can respond to that need. If you're a guest here this morning, we have a guest reception area, a guest welcome area right out here around these doors. There will be somebody there who can answer your questions about what Northeast is all about or taking next steps. But when it comes to this or anything else I've talked about this morning, as this person said, there's a point you have to make a decision. And so may God help us keep the main thing the main thing. May He help us commit ourselves to continuing to build community in our homes and our families in this church in practical ways. And to remember as we move forward, change is inevitable in life, and we've changed in big ways over the last 15 months. But I'm excited, and I hope you are too, with where we're going to go from here. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this season. And I know it seems unusual, Lord, to be praying like this. But Lord, you tell us to give thanks in all circumstances and to pray continually. And while we're not thankful for the circumstances or sickness or death or fear or struggling, we are thankful, God, that you allowed this in your providence to use it as an opportunity for us to grow, for the world to learn and depend upon you more, for opportunities to seek and serve and care, to build community wherever we are. Even if sometimes, Lord, it was through a Zoom meeting and other ways we didn't like, Lord, you were there. We not only thank you for the past season, but what you have taught us as we move forward. And we pray, God, that we might be committed individually to being builders of community in this church, in this city, in this nation, in this world, as we move forward. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's sing a song.